Ready to go.
Okay, great. Thank you, everyone. This is the Tucson Pima County Historical Commission special meeting notice for Friday, September 20th, 2024. Called to order at 3:15 p.m. And could we have roll call, please?
Yes. Allison Doggy. Andrew Christopher.
Here.
Carlos Lozano.
Carlos?
I'll call back on him again. Courtney Marks. Gary Miner.
Here.
Jeff Elwan.
Present.
Helen Erickson.
Here.
Jen Mulder.
Here.
AJ Lamb.
Here.
Joel Ireland. Julie Rigoli.
Here.
Kathy Kubisch.
I'm sorry.
Kathy. Here. Ken Scoville.
Present.
Peter Steer. Ricky Riojas. Savannah McDonald.
Here.
Steve Grady. Terry Majewski.
Here.
Tim Hagyard. Carlos Lozano.
Do we lose Carlos?
I think so.
Okay, we need to get him on again.
So we're at 11 right now.
Yeah, I don't know what happened with Carlos.
I don't think you called my name, Carla.
Yes, Kathy Kubisch. Yes, I called you.
Yeah,
but I think you kind of blanked out there for a minute.
Okay. There he is. Carlos Lozano.
Okay, we lost you.
Yeah. Are you taking roll call?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. All right. So we have a quorum of 12.
Okay, great.
We're
thank
good
you.
To go. Mm-hmm.
All right. Item 2 is Pima County proposed historic zone code text amendment. And Courtney Rose is going to lead this. And the reason we're having, we had a special meeting so that if in the event we wish to make a motion, we can do so. If we just had a stakeholder meeting, we would not be able to have done so. So that's why we're doing it this way. So go ahead, Courtney. Thank you for your patience.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you very much for giving me this opportunity to go through the proposed text amendment more thoroughly. And if I can't answer questions, then I will get the answers for you. I'm not sure if I've anticipated all of your possible questions, but I will do my best. And what I was thinking is I could share my screen. I don't know how many people are on by phone. And would that be a problem to share my screen and just go through the text amendment so that we can all be in the kind of the same place and I can kind of summarize it for those who are on the phone? What do you think?
I think that's a good idea. I think there's only one person on by phone. And JJ, do you have a printout of the document or do you have it on your screen?
I am putting it on my screen right now.
Okay.
Courtney, if we have a comment, yes. I made a little list of some things. Should we comment right at that moment that you're on that item?
Oh, I think that should. Makes sense. Yeah, because then others might have the same comment or might have another idea about your comment. And so I think the purpose of this is to kind of flesh it out and discuss and see if there's anything that we still need to do on this. This is a good time to do it since there's a quorum. And can you see my screen? I've got a number of documents up on, I have three screens. So this one should be the document draft that I sent you. Right. Can everyone see this?
Yes.
Ordinance. Okay, great. So we'll start at the top.
Okay, Courtney, before you go ahead, folks, could you raise your hand and then so that we're not all speaking at once and I will call on you, I'll watch carefully. Ken, do you have a question?
No, okay. I just didn't know if you wanted to just clarify this right now. So, no.
Yeah, okay. But I think section by section is smart. Then we can move ahead, right? Okay. Go ahead, Courtney. Sorry.
Okay. Thank you. So on this first page, this is a description. And this obviously needs to be updated. If you read through this in its entirety, you'll probably see that there are areas that need to be updated in here. And we're going to wait until the very end to redo this front page description of the text amendment, wait till after our edits have been completed and the attorneys have looked at this one more time. So I will start. This proposed text amendment includes Chapter 18.63, 18.73, 18.79, and 18.95, but it is primarily 18.63 and also related to the historic zone. I do have on my screen, other screen, I have the web page that opens up to the code as it stands now. So if anyone has any really specific questions, I can bring that code onto the screen and we can look at it in detail. Might take a few minutes, but I just wanted to let you know that I do have that open. So I would say that there are some highlights to this text amendment would include removing references to old ordinances. You might have noticed at the end of each section, there's a strikeout and there's some ordinances. After every single section, the attorneys are the ones who struck those. So those would not be relevant to this new historic zone if it were to be approved in the future. And so those are struck out. Another major item is to introduce a plans review subcommittee of the Historical Commission. Another one is to replace our old department name, which was Office of Sustainability and Conservation, with our new one, which is Conservation Lands and Resources. And also to remove the Fort Lowell Historic Zone and to replace the Design Review Committee with Historical Commission for design plan review requests, and creating a section 18.99.060 called the Historical Commission, which includes also the Plans Review Subcommittee and purpose, establishment, composition, et cetera. And so let's begin. So this first section here, 18.63.040 criteria. Are there any questions on or any comments? Yes.
Go ahead, Ken.
Okay. Under part, let's see, BA. Historic district zone should include historic sites, building structures on man-made, and I wanted to put in our natural landscapes. And an example would be the Campbell Farm. That view shed of the Catalina Mountains adds to the historic landscape because it's one of those few places that preserves that view from 100 plus years ago. So sometimes I think a natural feature actually adds to the historic landscape that we see that's man-made or changed.
Yes, I'm in agreement on that one. How about, wording? So we have here objects, man-made landscapes, natural landscapes, and or.
And natural landscapes.
Yeah. Places. Okay.
And that same question is also in under C, because it's talking about landmarks. So that same issue would apply, and you could just change that again to include, because sometimes those view sheds that have been there for time immemorial, cliche, but been there for a long time.
So and what was the example you gave again? Your voice is kind of low.
Because there are very few unobstructed views of the Catalinas anymore in Tucson, where you just have the whole range. And that's the same view people had farming there when it was a Mexican farmer or when it was acquired by the U of A.
Okay, thank you.
So it looks like it's under B1, A, B, and C that change from man-made and or natural landscapes. And then you'd include it somewhere under C as well?
The landmark zone, and it would actually be under A there. I think it's mentioned.
Yeah, right. Add.
Under C.
Under C. It should be a man-made and natural landscapes. So that should be in there again.
And that's also going to be very important to tribes that feel that cultural and natural things are cultural to them. You know, does that
yes,
make sense?
Interrelated.
Yeah, they're highly interrelated. So that's great. Okay. Anyone else for this section? Julie?
Yes, I could have heard wrong, and it's not written. But did Courtney say something about eliminating the term or excluding Camp Lowell or Fort Lowell?
Yes, I did. It is now owned by the city of Tucson. So it won't be part of Pima County's. Yeah.
Not owned, but it's annexed.
Oh, yes, annexed. That's what I meant, jurisdiction. Yes.
Yeah, so it's under city code. Correct.
It may be under city code. But how can that affect it? Is it still equally protected?
Well, it's under the historic, there's a historic zone for Camp Lowell. Camp Lowell historic zone, and it's also part of the National Register District, right, for Camp Lowell, but it's more restrictive and the rules are tougher because it's a historic preservation zone. Correct?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. I just wanted to verify that.
It's a good question. Yeah. Because things have moved around between the county and the city a little bit.
Courtney, one other comment on this. I know there's some plans afoot to have at least the county being a little bit more oversight. And that was my one concern about striking out the whole Fort Lowell thing. Obviously, you don't need it now. If for some reason that the county got more involved, like they had that preservation easement on the Atkins building, if they decided to become a little bit more of a managing partner, would we need to have that zone still listed in there or returned? I don't know. That might be a question.
I think it would be under a different document, such as an IGA or other types of documents.
Okay. But that would be my only other concern about Fort Lowell.
Okay. Julie, were you done with your question? Because there's one from Jan. Can we move on to Jan?
Yes, please.
Okay. Thank you, Jan. Go ahead.
I wasn't going to go there, but since we're talking about the landscapes and the natural landscapes, I just wonder, man-made seems kind of antiquated. I mean, can we say created in natural landscapes or something that's more inclusive?
Like human created.
Natural.
Yeah, human created and natural.
Yeah, human created, yeah.
And natural.
Yeah, thank you for going there.
Yes, you're welcome. Human created, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's much nicer. Okay, any other questions on this section? Can I take Ken and Julie's hands down for this one?
Sure.
Okay, so that I don't get distracted and you can raise them again for the next section. Okay, are you good, Ken, for this?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, go ahead, Courtney.
I have a quick question for commissioners. Would it be possible to take a note on your request as well so you can maybe compile them in an email to me or on your own? Would that be okay? Just because I want to have a record of all of all of the comments.
Okay, follow
and
up.
We're recording this too, right? So
thank you.
And yeah. Will there be a transcript? It'd be really nice to have the transcript if I'm going to do a list, Carla.
Yes, there's going to be a transcript.
Yeah. Okay.
Perfect. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Next, 18.63.050, establishment. A historic district zone. You know, scroll down here to page 3.
Under B, right, we've got man-made again. The same verbiage should be consistent.
I think we need to do a replace, a find and a replace on man-made.
Right.
Also, so I was looking at C, where it says the residents and property owners of the at the public hearing for the establishment of an historic zone, the residents and property owners of the subject area, and then the Historic District Advisory Board is crossed out. At first, I thought this was an error, an oversight, but I'm thinking that it is well to be crossed out because the Historic District Advisory Board is created once the Historic District Zone is established.
Right.
Is everyone in agreement? Okay.
I am.
I'm just still wondering to, how important it is to have some redundancy of things. I don't know. It makes it more cumbersome because it's already got a lot of words now.
What are you looking for to be redundant?
Well, I'm just saying that the chicken or the egg, it has to be approved before you start the advisory board process, or does the advisory board actually move it through to get it approved?
I think that the advisory board is created upon the establishment of the historic district zone. I think that's the timing of it.
To clarify.
Mm-hmm. And then we have some underlined sections here. Any comments on this page?
Typically here.
This is Helen, and I drew my hand up.
Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Okay. So B6, if you go there, scroll
is it down a little further?
It's on the next page.
But it's 6 here.
Okay, so any additional information?
Yeah, so 6, E, and F. Okay. Mm-hmm. I think that 1, they could be combined, or we have to have an or after the end of item E. Because it could be this recommendation from the Historical Commission, I think is equivalent. In other words, I think the Historical Commission needs the authority to indicate what is a historic resource in our area. I don't think it has to be a I don't think it has to be a both. I think it can be an either or there.
Courtney, I can't see 6. Scroll down a little bit.
Okay, let me, can you see 6 right here?
No.
With my cursor.
I'm just seeing 5 public notice. I'm not seeing number 6.
Oh, but this is
a little up.
Number 6.
Okay, it's not under, it's not under 6 before you get to the subcategory.
Oh,
look for E and F, Ken.
Okay, so it's under.
Helen, I'm sorry. Is it any additional information deemed necessary? Is that what you're discussing?
Okay, so under 6, item 6. E is the National Register nomination or determination of eligibility, right? F. Mm-hmm. Is the I think it needs to be clear that you don't have to have both. that you can have one or the other of these, because I don't think we should be totally tied to the National Register here.
Okay.
Word or to the end of E.
I see. So, or other documentation from the State Historic Preservation Office isn't good. We should have in or eligible for listing in the National Register of Historic Places or other evidence.
Right. In other words, it's a question of making sure that you have the option here. It could be National Register. It could be from SHPO, but it also could be a recommendation from the Historical Commission, who has the best knowledge of what's important around here.
Right. And so we already, if we go back on the previous page, it's got the plans review subcommittee giving a recommendation that would then, I think, could come to the commission. You know what I'm saying? So plans review would hear it, and then it would come. But I think item G needs to be required. That's not an or.
No, G is not required. The or is section F.
Right, I get that, but then we need to, okay.
You could combine E and F into one item.
Yes, mm-hmm. And then have G become F, something like that.
Exactly.
Okay. Damian Klinko also had a similar comment, so I have thought about this a little bit in that it's... From our perspective, we feel that if we have multiple layers of support, that is beneficial. But we will take another look at that one.
Yeah, I just think it's important because mm-hmm. of the fact that what you're essentially saying here is the only evaluator who really counts is SHPO. And I don't think that should be true.
Well, I think that if you just take E and F without the or, it's saying that you have to have
both.
Both. And I mean, SHPO could do a determination of eligibility, and that would be helpful. But I think for a city landmark, I think it has to have a completed National Register nomination, doesn't it?
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. That was taken out of that.
Oh, that's true. That's true. Yeah. Yeah. So I think we definitely need the or, because sometimes you're not going to get that, and something could be lost easily.
That's right.
What about eligibility and eligibility determination? Is that too much as well?
No, I think it's two separate things, Courtney.
Okay.
We're looking at this from two separate points of view. There is the National Register is a very specific process, okay? It's not the only process in the world. We could have HABs on a building, and we could say, look, we have HABs here. This is whatever the state wants to think about this. We still have a very important historic resource here. It's just that it's been documented differently. I mean, documentation is required regardless, but it's just a question of who puts the seal of approval. And I just see potential problems there that I just would not want to have get into.
I need to clarify something, because I talked to Damian also. And he gave me an example. He said sometimes there might be a cultural resource that would not necessarily be the National Register, or even in some extreme circumstance would not even fit as an historic resource in a more pure way. But it's such a thing about the culture of Tucson that it still should be able to go through a process. So it should be, each one of those would be a standalone criteria. It would be good to have all three. But if something is just a cultural feature that we want to get preserved, you don't want to hinder that effort because it doesn't have some strong traditional A, B, C, D documentation.
Also, I think this could be a case where a tribal property might, for some reason, not be acceptable or not be proposed to the National Register, and we're, it just, it's too exclusionary. I guess that's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, and there was a recent, the Pasquayaki recently submitted a nomination, I think it was for a cemetery, and they were allowed to submit that without photographs. Mm-hmm. You know, so I think we have to be really careful to not exclude anything that tribes might be interested in doing as a landmark. So does that give you something to work with, Courtney?
It does. Thank you.
Okay. Anyone else?
I'm taking notes.
Okay. And I mean, and Helen, if you want to send me something to put in the notes for this one and maybe run it by Ken or something, just so that I know what our, how we to capture our thoughts. And right. It may be a little bit disjunct in the transcript.
Yeah. No, I have written these all down by section and number. So I have my list of comments here.
Okay. Jan, did you have something else?
Just something really quick to, to your point about the tribal potential interest. I mean, in that case, for the part about the photos, should it be like as applicable or something? Otherwise, that's a requirement, right? Or maybe yes. I missed that.
Mm-hmm. It's a good point.
Yeah, thank you. Okay. Are we ready to move on to the next section? We've got something under five here, right? That's just putting in your new name.
Yes, new name. Under six, new name. And then we can move on to 18.63.060 Historic District Zone Advisory Boards. You're ready.
Yeah, and Courtney, I just have one comment. I was talking to Ian yesterday, and he said that you may go under yet another change of name.
That would be for our specific cultural resources group. So,
okay, so this is still valid for the overarching.
I think it is, because I believe we would stay in the Conservation Lands and Resources Department.
But you might want to double check that before this goes final.
Yeah, it's a really, that would be good.
Okay, great. Go ahead with that next section then, please.
Okay, thank you. A Historic District Zone Advisory Boards. On page four, no proposed change. Page five, no proposed change except for striking out the listing of the ordinances. Any questions? 18.63.070 Development Zones. Page five, no proposed change.
Question.
Go ahead, yes. Ken.
How are we sort of trying to not think about what's going on at the state now and ADUs and density and all these things? We're just trying to keep this as pure as possible for right now. Because I guess if we did some kind of clarification, then you might get into an issue that's super current right now. Because when we're talking about development district zone, maybe, you know, I keep hearing things, well, we can build two units in the front and three in the back, or all those other kinds of issues. But that might be a sticky widget we just don't want to even put a flag on right now.
I'm not sure that we do want to.
I'm just going to bring this up as a conversation.
Yeah.
I'm hoping somebody starts an initiative to change all this, or referendum on that decision at the state about housing. There's a lot of people in Phoenix with very expensive houses on the national register and all the tax things. They're not happy about this. And I'm known also in Tucson.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you. So page 5, no other comments. Page 6.
I have one under 8.0.
Mm-hmm. New construction or alterations?
Yes, under number 6, part D. Big number 6, and then D underneath it.
Hey, I'm going to scroll down a little.
Okay, I don't know if somebody's missing something that they want to talk about.
Well, let me just say before we get going, Courtney, I think you need to read through this because structure and building are different things, so we can't use them as synonyms. Right, so under A1 on page 6, you say of new buildings or structures, or the redesigning of existing structures and buildings. So, you have to be really careful unless you're really calling out only buildings versus structures. Does that make sense?
Yes, I think so. So we would say, we would have to say buildings or structures at
all
the end
time.
Of the sentence.
Yeah, so that no one could just get away without, and I can send you definitions from the National Register if you want.
Thank you.
Own edification.
Got it.
Okay. Sorry. Go ahead, Ken. Throw on the next page.
Well, that's big number 6, but if you might just scroll down, let everybody else look. And then when you get to 6, then somebody's got a question.
All right. Let's see.
Stop at the
start. Am I going past it?
No, you're not there yet, but I'm just looking at all these strikes.
There it is. Appeals and procedure.
Appeals? Yeah.
Yes, and it was, let me see, I had number D, decisions by the Board of Supervisors, and you struck out advisory boards. Why did you strike out advisory boards? They should have, I would think they would still want to be considering. It sort of sounds to me like the concerns of the advisory board might not be included there. They might have originated from the advisory board, but in the decision process, maybe that's not going to be considered unless appropriate advisory board is still in there. I think that's just maybe could. I had some redundancy that I think would be important. That the advisory.
Okay, it may have been overlooked.
Because the procedure for this for city historic preservation zones is that the advisory board and the plans review subcommittee both make recommendations, and then the planning director makes the decision, you know,
right,
because
it can still be appealed to the Board of Supervisors in this one. And I just think it's better to have the appropriate advisory board concerns included in the big mix that they review. It can be sort of missed if you didn't have the whatever feedback from the advisory board in that final decision, that they were considering all the things, including the advisory board concerns or issues.
Yeah, because the Historical Commission doesn't really make a decision. They make a recommendation, right?
Right. But when they have all the pieces on the front of the Board of Supervisors, the way that struck out, it feels like to me that some concern from the advisory board in the final decision about something is going to be lost. If it's in there in that code, then they go, we need to look, make sure we've got the advisory board concerns on that same table that we're looking at for the final decision.
Okay.
Yeah, and you've got it different than the city process because you have a decision by the Historical Commission. And did you deliberately think that through, that there wouldn't be someone else in your structure making a decision after the advisory board and the commission made recommendations and plans review, excuse me, of the commission. Because see, you may not be seeing that when you sit in on plans review meetings, because we only do courtesy reviews for the county. But if we're actually doing design review, then we usually take the recommendations of both and bump it up to somebody else. Because we don't want the commission or the advisory board to be liable to be sued by anybody. You know what I mean? Like, somebody else is in the middle making a decision based on our recommendations, and then they can appeal to mayor and council. So it would be more parallel, and I think that works well. I don't know, Jan, you've got your hand up.
Where would that go?
We'd have to go back. We'd have to look at the design plan review procedures. And see who's reviewing. Would it be the zoning inspector? Would it be, no, it wouldn't be that. It would be, what about the head of your planning and development services? Are they not, I mean, familiar with, usually it's somebody in your department would write it up, and then
yes.
And then somebody else, you would discuss it with someone in your department. But I think really that the commission shouldn't be making a decision. They should, make recommendations.
Terry?
Yeah.
In this whole, the whole document as a whole, it looks as though the historical commission is continually recommending to planning and zoning.
Mm-hmm.
Am I correct, Courtney, that this is how the structure works? Because if that is the structure, this would be where the historical commission would be. In other words, they would have recommended that it be planning and zoning that would have dealt with this.
Or is it your cultural resources department that has
or
the
is box? It your, no. I think whoever the historical commission recommends to would be the determining body, just as we have the director of planning and development.
Right.
And it looked to me that was how you'd set up this structure.
Yeah, and the advisory boards would make their own recommendation to that person, and that person would meld them, or that department would meld them, probably with some help from Courtney's department.
It would definitely come through our department. Yeah.
Yeah, because you know, eventually you're going to have an HPO, right? So that would make sense.
Hmm.
So I think that needs to be worked on a little bit.
Okay.
And I mean, in the interest of time, because we're already getting there, we need to probably, we can provide some things to look at.
Okay.
I'm going to make a
note. Should we move on?
Yeah.
Took notes. Okay.
Are we in 090 right still? Are we still in 090?
Can we back up a sec? I have my hand
sure.
up.
Yeah.
Sure, go ahead.
Let's to the I'm gonna top back up. Of. Let's go up to the top just. Okay, top so this of, was 080. This was okay, new construction or alterations. Cool. Let's go over through this one more time.
Okay. Jen, what did you have?
Well, I had one just little comment at the top of the next page.
Oh, what the next page?
Page 7. There's stop. So it just looks like there's an errant cross out or something, the B1A that you probably wasn't intended. It's.
Yeah.
Okay, and then down at 5B toward the bottom of the page, there's mention of the committee, and it looks like you've replaced the committee with historical commission. I think there's a few places where it hasn't been fully replaced.
I noticed that too when I was going through it.
Yeah, and then I don't know if that was a mistake of trying to re-letter the 5A. Let's see, down just a little further.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's relettered, so there's two C's, and so I don't know if something was supposed to be collapsed or if that's just, again, a mistake.
And I think instead of the Historical Commission, it would be the Plans Review body of that, right? Because you're establishing the Plans Review earlier. Yeah, so that I think we need to look at this separately.
And that's pretty much throughout that Plans Review kind of disappeared and it became the Historical Commission.
I was noticing that too when I was taking a kind of deeper look at this, and I think it's because the Plans Review comes out of the Historical Commission, but it needs to be specified a little bit more. It's kind of lost in this text, I think.
It would be a nightmare with the size of the group. I mean, you couldn't do that. We would have a riot on our hands. Ken?
Yeah, I guess I'm still torn a little bit. And having looked at things originally back when this was first established, it seems like, is the Plans Review have a little too much power? I understand from the time and consensus and all those other things, but I guess when the Plans Review decisions are presented to the commission at the following meeting following the Plans Review.
They're not decisions, Ken. They're just recommendations. We don't make the final ones.
Apology. Recommendations. A commissioner could still express their concern or clarification or question at that time.
But the point is you could always attend the Plans Review Subcommittee meeting, which are turning into, 2 to 3 hours every time, twice a month.
When it's then presented for what the Plans Review Committee did, could a commissioner still have a question about that?
Again, we don't make the decision, and because of the timing of the decisions by ordinance, they only have so long to take a case from application to finalization. I think that if we can get reports of preliminary reviews of cases and we get more, fuller disclosure of what's going on, then I think it will be better for commissioners.
Okay.
And does that make sense?
Harry? Yes. Yeah. Harry, I just want to bring this up because I'd like to know, are we going to have a hard close in 2 minutes? Or because I think 18.101.070, how representatives to the Historic Commission are determined, is really a major point of discussion. And so...
Well, I don't know. So, Courtney, can you stay on a little bit longer? Can everybody else stay on for a little bit longer?
Yes.
I can.
Yes.
Okay. Does anyone have to get off right at 4?
Yeah.
About 4:30.
Okay. Let's try to move it along then. Yeah, that'd be good.
Okay. Thank you. I was concerned we'd miss that.
Okay. Where are we, Helen? Thanks for bringing that up.
Can we go to
090? I'm waiting for
090. Would that be okay?
Yes.
Okay. Just skip along here.
And mine was under 3A of 090, number 3 and then A.
3A. Okay. Let me just write that down.
And then, Helen, did you have something before that?
Yeah, mine is also 3A, and I think it sounds to me like this is just confused. And
preliminary
review.
3A.
I'm missing where you're, let's see.
On page 11?
See, or 10. It's got a strike through it a little bit.
Okay, so go down.
It's under number 3 here, preliminary review.
Where it says prior to submittal.
Okay.
Is that the one you're asking about?
Yes. I say reinstate reference to other section. Where's this?
But I can't hear something.
There's a sound. it sort of should break up into two parts. The applicant should get a recommendation from the department and staff, and then they may consult. Here, it's the consult part here. You see that end tag, it just doesn't make any sense, really. I think the point is staff can consult with the commission, they could consult with the advisory board, they could consult with anybody, but this can consult from staff at that point. The staff is consulting with staff.
You see where that is, Courtney?
I think it's just unintentional.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, so we need to fix that. So that's page.
Fix that.
Yeah, okay. The way it struck out, I wanted that reinstated. Better wording, but it seemed to me that that strikeout should be reinstated.
Which one? Which part? The plans review subcommittee?
Under three.
Okay.
Basically, it's staff may consult with other departments as appropriate. I think that's what.
Yeah, that's I think that just needs to be reworded, but that should not be struck out. What you have struck out needs to be reworded.
Okay.
Yeah, and I would look at the demolition, you know, in a historic zone, and look what that procedure is for the city. It's pretty good.
Okay. And we're going to have one other comment on the demolition when we get into this.
Okay, go ahead. And then we have Jan, I think.
Is
that somebody's phone? Can that be muted?
Can I go? I think Ken's talking about further on.
Yes,
just
yes.
Back on the previous page, again, just a small thing under A3B, there's just a word left out.
Which one is it?
The previous page.
Yeah, I got page. It. If the preservation of the structure?
Yeah, the Planning and Zoning Commission, zoning's left out.
Yes, page 10.
I don't see that. Okay.
Where is that? Page 10. B.
3B.
Oh.
2B.
Okay, if you got it, then that's fine. I just can't, I'm seeing something else. Okay.
Is that good?
That was my only comment.
Okay, Ken, did you have something next?
Yes, under demolition of either, and this would be a question for landmarks and historic preservation zones. And when I went through this, and I think all of us, and I know Carlos is, we're all trying to improve some aspects of the demolition in the city, and that maybe you have to be some flexibility in the county also. But I just know in past decades, a lot of times things come very quickly demolished by the government entity because of health and safety issues. And I didn't see anything here trying to deal with when there's a health or say, like, is a wall imminent and collapse? And is that just being motivated by a developer owner that would like to see it go down? I think there needs to be some discussion and wording about health and safety in the demolition process for either the landmark or the zone. Because I didn't see anything about health and safety emergency, and we need to tear it down.
Emergency, but yeah.
Need to have some kind of wording to deal with a pretty rare occurrence, but how would we want to deal with that? To try and eliminate somebody's demolition by neglect and encouragement.
Right, because what happens a lot with the agencies that I work with is that all of a sudden something becomes a life safety issue and you go to the extreme measures of treating it. Because, and I'm like, this is a life safety issue because someone can't golf in this corner. No, it's not something that crazy, but they're crazy. I'm like, really?
And another example, just because I know too much of what's gone on, a lot of times buildings get torched and they don't do an assessment. Is the building still structurally sound even though there's been a fire? They go, oh, well, there's been a fire. It's got to come down. And the very classic camp example is the one on Main Avenue, and that it caught on fire, and Tom Peterson had to go down and plead with the fire department, don't tear down the walls. And now that was the Cheney home, and now it's a landmark building because we found somebody that wanted to spend the $600,000 to put it back together. So well, those safety emergency issues need to be
with that one, Ken. It was also neglect by the owner.
Sure.
And the commission really fought that one, and you know, the owner sold it and the Cheney stepped up. That was right. That was a miracle.
But that night that it caught on fire, the fire department wanted to knock it down.
Yeah.
And Tom Peterson went out and lobbied them and said, wait, we might be able to save this. And that started a whole other chain of events.
Yeah. And so that was great. So, yeah, and I think there is wording. We need to look into that, Courtney, somehow. I don't know.
Do you want kind of a definition of what is health and safety, or kind of like more
health and safety
parameters?
Deal with health and safety to evaluate, is it truly a health and safety issue, or is this just an ongoing thing of demolition by neglect and then the politics of it trying to get this health and safety instated? And there needs to be some wording and hopefully some process. It doesn't come up very often, but I know there's been several buildings, especially if they've been arsoned or torched. Oh, we got to get them down. But and you know, those circumstances do come up.
Yeah, thank
good
you.
Point. Yeah. Okay. Any other hands up, or can we move on to the next thing?
I'm finished.
Okay.
We're going to go to page 12. I don't know why this was highlighted. I think that was just left there for some.
Oh, do you want to share again, Courtney? Is that just me not seeing it? Oh, Jan, go ahead if your hand's up.
Can you still see it?
I can just see a little picture. Maybe my screen is something zoomed. Can others see
it? How is everyone doing with the screen?
I can see it.
I've got it. I clicked on it again. Okay. Jan, did you have something again?
I'm at the top of page 12.
Yeah, I see Jan's hand up, though, but she's on mute.
She's on mute, yeah.
Okay, sorry. For some reason, I'm seeing the top of the last page, not the top of page 12. I don't know why, but anyway. So, again, this is just a small thing, and you're probably on it now, Courtney, but it looks like you've gone through and most of the places remove capitals for like Planning and Zoning Commission, Board of Supervisors, but like Planning and Zoning still capitalized under public notice. And it just kind of varies throughout. So whichever way you want it. That's all I had. It was small.
Thank you.
Okay, and then I see on page 13 where you've struck through all the Fort Lowell stuff. Mm-hmm. Maps. They're going. And then again, I think you've got Historical Commission when you should have plans review of the commission or something.
Where's that?
That's on page 17, right about in the middle, non-conforming signs.
Carlos, do you have any signs? I don't know.
I'm just wondering if you wanted to keep the you know, the whole sign discussion pretty minimal instead of having it be like the heritage. No, what are they called now? Heritage landmark signs.
Yeah.
HLS in the city code that, I mean, Carlos, you worked really hard on that originally.
So if there's a way to simplify it, I mean, yeah,
I mean, do you think this is good? I mean, what they have for non-conforming signs? I mean, there's a whole process that you have to have a treatment plan. You have to, you know, I think to avoid having every sign be designated. But are you familiar with that whole process on signs, Courtney?
I'm not familiar. I'm sorry.
Okay, I can. Do you have all that stuff handy, Carlos, that you could provide to Courtney?
Yeah. But now, what does F? I don't understand the how they're determining this date here on F, landmark sign. A sign erected prior to the effective date of the ordinance. What does that mean? Mm-hmm.
Well, it's an older sign. I mean, it's not, but that, I don't get that either. Like, why wouldn't it be?
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like I need to go to the code to maybe there's some context for this because that I don't know what that means either.
It might be that they were worried about some attorney arguing that, well, because this was enacted at this time, this sign wouldn't be applicable from, it would seem to me it would be, but that might be a little bit.
Yeah, it's vague. Jan, yeah. You had your hand up again?
Yeah, just a real brief thing. I think, again, this is, I think, just a replacement issue, but back at the end of the section on Santa Vera, it refers to design review committee. Is that
Let me go back.
It's the last number three, section three.
And that would be on page 13.
It's page 13, middle of the page. Right above Fort Lowell. All the strikeouts.
Right there, right? We've got it. Yeah.
Appeals will be directed
to the design review committee.
And whether it's
supposed to be it was unclear. Yeah. It's kind of the design review is kind of crossed out in most places. I haven't followed
we'll
your revised
that.
Purpose of that. Yeah.
We'll check that to make sure that that's not an error also in our process. Yeah.
Because otherwise there's really nothing, I think, going on with historical commission and related to Santa Vera the way it's drafted.
Courtney?
Yes.
I have just another thought looking at the Fort Lowell Historic Zone. And this is the historian in me. If we strike all this and vanish, some people might not realize that at one time the county was the overseer of the Fort Lowell Historic District Zone. You know, you might put a notice in there, something other than saying at one time and put the time frame of what that was. I don't want to say if that was from 86 or whatever. So somebody would know that this was at one time, because there might be an issue, and I'm just thinking about if the county starts managing a certain portions of it, I think everybody in the future ought to know that it was a zone at one time. But I think providing some information and maybe taking this information and have it linked somewhere else so somebody can find all is right now it's not applicable, but yes, this did exist. And you can go to this link if you want to see what was actually done.
Like if a reference to the date.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I think it could also be in the IGA too, right? I mean, if the IGA is updated, if it's strengthened, if, you know, the relationship.
I like that.
Right. We don't want to lose that piece of the puzzle.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. I'm going to go down to where we were talking about something else that was confusing, which was ordinance codified.
This is Helen. I think this is actually sort of an orphan paragraph, and there's some text missing here because the first of all, it shall be given the status. I'm automatically you know, this is just sort of strange.
Yeah, I think we need to get better text. We need to see text on landmark signs and stuff like that. And if not, we can, you know, maybe Carlos can help you. Do you have Carlos's email?
Yes, I do.
Yes.
So what I can do is just check with at least two other of the people that amended the City of Tucson landmark sign code, and then, so I should not get that to you, Terry. I should get that to Courtney.
Why don't you just copy me and, you know, send it to Courtney and copy me, because that's, there's, she doesn't have anything to work with right away.
Okay. Yeah.
And Carlos, that's in the code, so you should be able to find it really quickly.
No, I know, but there might be, right, but it's, but I don't know that we want the county to just copy the city code. I think that they, you know, they might, there might be a way they could do theirs better than the city.
Sure.
Yeah.
It's a non-conforming sign. That's where it falls, I think, under in the code as well. Do you think? Yeah. I mean, in the city code, yeah. So yeah, anyway, just give us something to work with.
Yeah.
This is what it looks like in the county code, just for reference.
Okay.
Okay, so there's just it's an orphan paragraph. This is just of, you just have part of what you have in the code.
Mm-hmm.
I think it just got deleted by mistake.
Yeah, these are just sections. I believe that the amendment just had on this draft sections that were going to be changed. Yeah, but it can be updated. So
yeah, I think it needs to be updated. And then obviously, instead of historical commission, it would be the plans review part of historical commission, you know? Because I think that's, you're seeing that a lot, as someone pointed out. Jan, did you have something else?
Yeah, just above that where it's amenity landscaping requirements.
I'm going to move this to the other screen. Okay.
There's, and maybe the intent is to make a distinction, but I think it would be hard to do. The reference to historic is removed, and there's no provision for a historic review in those cases where the landscape has importance or where it's associated with a landmark. So I don't know what the solution is. I think maybe that strike of the historic, originally it was kind of lumped in there and it probably could be clearer. But I don't think having it just be design review or subdivision development standards is where it should be. Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Other quick comments, because we're getting down to the wire and people, we're going to lose our quorum because folks have to get off.
Okay. Let's get down to, I think we're getting to, we have enforcement here, and then do you want to discuss Commissioner Erickson's?
Yes.
So that we can, and then we can go back. Would that be okay?
I would appreciate it simply because I think it's a major issue here.
Is it this one, 18.101?
It's 18.101. Hang on a second. 070.
Here we go.
Yeah. Okay. And here's, so here's what I read. 5 members, 1 appointed by each member of the Board of Supervisors. Okay, that part is clear. Composition. Then 5 members appointed by a majority vote of the supervisors who hang on here, consisting of, and that part is clear. But the question is, appointed by a majority vote. So who nominates these people? How do they get to the Board of Supervisors? You know, it's I think this is a really important question.
Well, and since we're not having a separate historical commission, why is this in here anyway?
That makes it sound, both the commission and the later reference to plans review sound like they're standalone.
Yeah, and I don't, I mean, we're hopefully set, you know, we're together again for the foreseeable future.
Right. So this is, I think it's confusing for that. I also think it's confusing for our practice. You know, it says that members may not serve more than 8 years. Are we talking about continuous 8 years? Because in practice, people have been off the commission for a year and then reappointed. So this just, you know, there's a problem here. It doesn't.
I think the intent was to be appointed by a supervisor. And that would go with 4 year terms.
Right.
I think that was the intent.
No, I think that is the intent, and serving two terms, that's also what's in the city. But then you have had, I know in my case, I was a citizen advisor for a year, and then I was reappointed as a commissioner. And so I think the question here would be that if you're talking about term limits, that needs to be straightened out. And then I don't know, is this even relevant if we're not changing anything?
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
there was one quote that I mentioned in the stakeholder meeting by the National Park Service that makes the plans review subcommittee relevant. And if I can find that, I have so many screens open.
Yeah, that was the other thing, that the Board of Supervisors shall appoint 3 members of the Historical Commission to the Plans Review Subcommittee.
No, the commission appoints those.
I know, but that's not what it says here, Terry.
Yeah, I know, but we need to, and the thing is, Courtney, we need to figure out what that was, because right now we're doing the courtesy reviews for the county. There's no reason why we can't have, I think we need to talk about this section more, because basically plans review now for the city has a lot of county people. It has county people on it and city people, and they tend to be ones that are architects and things like that. So this section does need to be improved. And
this is the one quote from the National Park Service when they got back to us on having a joint commission, was that the statute and these regulations neither require nor restrict CLGs from appointing a joint commission as long as the commission has the legal authority to act within each jurisdiction and the members meet the membership requirements established in the statute, the regulations, the adopted state CLG procedures, and relevant state or local laws.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, and the thing is that you have city people live in the county, you know what I'm saying? So that if we said something like, we're all county residents that live, you know, whether we're a city commissioner or a county commissioner. So
yeah, I think we talked.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember talking about this with Linda Mayro and Development Services, and we were talking about how they would be overlapping, likely, possibly the same members.
Yeah. I think
this is JJ. I have a question.
I just wanted to say, I think this needs more thought and discussion than we probably handled today. So I just want to make sure it was on everybody's radar, because it's weird.
Yeah. And so I think what we ought to do, Courtney, because we need to wrap up, is I don't think there's a need to make a motion because we provided, no one's really disagreed with comments that Ken or Helen or Jan or I have made or whatever. But maybe we do try to have another stakeholder meeting. We and I should talk about this. I mean, if we have a stakeholder meeting and only 6 people can attend, we can still make comments to Courtney. We just can't make a motion. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. And I think mm-hmm. that might be easier, but I could work with Courtney on there's a lot that we've brought up here that needs work. So I don't mm-hmm. know, you know, if you want to think about it and we talk for the weekend or Monday or something about what your thoughts are.
This is JJ, and I have a question as well.
Go ahead.
Okay. So do commissioners need to geographically live within the district or the ward that appoints them?
They do not, and but often the supervisor or the ward person wants to have them in their ward or district, which is up to them. Mm-hmm. But
okay. No, I just wanted some clarification.
Okay, so we didn't go over right before we wrap up here. We didn't go over a couple sections, board of supervisors. We didn't go over.
Courtney, I think that also, you know, the thing that's not clear here right now mm-hmm. is the structure. You know, who reports to whom and how the connection to the board of supervisors is processed. Okay. So. I think that would be worth, you know, trying to make one of those cute little graphics of how this connects.
And Courtney, would we be able to do another stakeholder meeting without this anxiety of trying to get a quorum of the commission to, because there's stuff that really we haven't been able to work with you on.
Yes, I'm willing to do that.
And okay. Do you want to talk Monday morning or give me a call on the weekend and we can talk about how this affects your schedule, how we fit within your schedule?
Yes. We'll take the time we need to get this right. If it's
It needs work because there's so much. There's so much, and mm-hmm. you know, we're not pointing any figures. There's a lot of great stuff here. So, okay, Ken, did you have one more comment?
Yes,
we need to get off because we're going to lose it.
I don't know how to really approach this section because I need some more context to understand the relationship of this section to the other historic things. I just needed some more clarification on this. But I didn't understand this. The other question I had was that when we started this, you wanted us to send to Courtney to what our sections were, but you're going to get a transcript of this recording? So we don't need to send what we talked about?
Well, I think it would really be easier if it would be easier for Courtney to have me compile something, send me your sections that you want changed, and I can also share the transcript, which may or may not be, you know, it records what it hears. So I have a bad voice that gets recorded strangely by the transcript. So I'll look at it and see the quality of it.
Okay, I talked about some things that I didn't make the initial notes about. So that's why if I just send you what notes I made to get started, I'd be missing some of the other things. That's why.
Right. And I can send when Carla sends me that transcript, I'll share it with folks that are on this group that are going to send in stuff. Okay. Right. And let me have a chance to talk to Courtney about the schedule and how we want to work this. So. Okay, I'm going to have to shut down comments right now because I have to do item 3, which is call to the audience. Carla, did you receive any comments by the deadline?
No comments were received.
Okay, and would you be able to send me the transcript yet today, or do you need to wait till Monday because it's getting late for you too?
I'm going to see. I'm here till 5, so I'll see if everything completely downloads. And if it does, I'll send it to you right away.
Okay. If not, you can get it to me on Monday morning. So, okay, folks. Well, Courtney and you and I will talk soon.
I want to thank Courtney for doing this mm-hmm. today. This was highly productive and answered a lot of questions that I had. that we hadn't done this. So this was highly valuable.
A lot going on. So thank you. This is really a tour de force. And so we'll talk soon. And thank you, everyone, for taking a big part of your Friday afternoon for this. And you're very much appreciated. Send me comments and stuff. I'll send you all the transcript as soon as I get it. So we're adjourned at 4:30 p.m. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Have a good weekend. Anna.
Thank you both for doing this. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
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 It's good today. Amazing. Oh.